Okay, what's interesting about what Jason just did is no matter what we do, if we're teaching some type of truth, there's always some principle involved. What principles are involved in what he's doing here?
Vibrations, harmony.
Yeah, again, duality. Duality, you just do the wavelength, and you have the positive and the negative, the up and down.
Each string actually that does
occurs
that.
Everywhere.
Because the string's normally in the middle, and when you hit it, it's going.
Duality.
It's actually vibrating at that rate.
But, and he's also talking about the principle of harmonics. In other words, if the wavelengths are in harmony with each other,
do you want me to demonstrate
and multiples with each other,
class?
Then you have harmony. If you have harmony, then you'll have a healthy atmosphere.
So I'll show you harmonics real quick. So this is the open tuning, and if I hit it at certain distances, there's harmonics. So the strings now are vibrating at this different harmonic, but it's within the same vibration. So, and if you have a group, like I was in several choirs, like when I was younger, and if everyone's singing certain notes and you're in a really resonant place, certain pitches that no one's singing that are above will actually just start appearing. You'll hear these tones like floating in the air that are higher.
That nobody's obvious. Actually saying, but they just
right,
appear?
Right, because everybody, that's called a harmonic. So you can go and like play.
There's a name for that. What's the name of the one that happens?
Harmonic.
They call those harmonics usually.
Seem like there's
harmonic
a,
tones or...
Seem like there's a specific name
harmonic
for that.
Harmonic resonance.
Something like that. I can't remember this. Yeah, I've heard that before.
So is that a principle of harmonic resonance?
Yeah, there's definitely a principle involved in harmonics. And same thing with even physical beauty is harmony of the physical realm produces physical beauty. And harmony within vibration produces beautiful music. And it's interesting that we're just a little bit off. Maybe if we could adjust all the music so it was in a better frequency for us, maybe everybody would be a little bit easier to live with. Be funny if everybody was a little bit grumpy just because they're listening to the wrong harmonics, though, wouldn't it? Okay, any more questions for Jason? This is pretty interesting. Okay, now we'll continue on in different principles. Does anyone else have another one they want us to elaborate on now?
Yeah, a couple of them I'd like to see if maybe you could combine them. One is the name of Christ, and one is Christ coming back? If so, when? And I'd like to ask why.
Why is coming back? Oh, okay. Maybe an easier question is how come he doesn't want to come back yet?
Why bother?
Maybe he's waiting for the harmony to change from 440 to 432.
Maybe he never left.
Did you say Christ's name?
Yeah, the name of Christ.
The name.
Okay. The name of Christ is an interesting one, and most people don't think of the name of Christ as a principle, but it's one of the more interesting principles. Does anyone know what the name Jesus Christ means? First of all, Jesus. What does the word Jesus mean?
Anointed.
Okay.
Well, I know it comes from the same root as Joshua and Joseph.
Okay, Christ means anointed. Jesus means something else.
To deliver. Anointed to deliver.
Right. The whole name means anointed to deliver. Okay. Christ comes from the Greek and Hebrew roots, which means anointed. So back in the ancient days, when the prophets poured oil on a person's head and anointed him to be king, he was Christed, so to speak, because he was anointed to be king of Israel, and that's what they did. They anointed them and Christed them to be the new king or position of some type. And so that's where the name Christ comes from. And there were many Christs mentioned in the Old Testament. David was called a Christ. Samson was called a Christ. King Cyrus, who was a non-Israelite, was called a Christ. Jesus was not the only Christ. Matter of fact, even in the King James Version, which is amazing that it gets it right at all, it says, to us this day is born a Savior. It doesn't say the Savior. It says, it is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Okay. So the Bible bears this out, that Jesus was not the only one that was called Christ. A lot of people were called Christ. A lot of people were called gods. Moses was called a god. The judges that Moses set up were called Elohim, or gods. And they judged the people. And it's mistranslated as judges, because when the translators started translating that, and it says the gods among the people, that doesn't sound right. We've got to come up with another word for this. So they come up with judges. So everywhere you read judges in the Old Testament, it's really translated from the word Elohim, which is gods. The same word that is used in God created the heaven and the earth. Same word. Okay. So the gods ruled among the people in the days of Moses, in other words. So, and I have a whole book written on this. It's called The Gods of the Bible. Matter of fact, Israel itself is an interesting word. It means to prevail as God, or to prevail against God even. What happened? The reason Jacob was called Israel, his original word was called, name was called Jacob, which is means upsurger. In other words, he was he replaced Esau as the firstborn. And so because he had a destiny to do this, he was called Jacob, which means the person that replaces the authority of a person that is supposed to be the designated authority or designated usurper. Position. What?
Usurper?
Yeah, usurper is the word I'm looking for. So it basically means usurper. Get the right word there. My wife gives me a bad time. I always massacre words. But so he was originally named Jacob until he was traveling along and he met this being, and he wrestled with him throughout the night, and he beat him. He out wrestled the guy, and so the person who was identified in the scriptures as a god said to Jacob, oh, because you got the best of me, I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means to prevail as a god. So he prevailed as a god because he wrestled a god and he beat this god. So because he beat up a god, he was called Israel, which means to prevail as a god, or to be able to prevail against a god. Okay, so Jacob... So very few people understand that Israel actually has this this meaning. Now, the Orthodox translation is a little bit different. They say, well, it means Prince of God. Or so they take these words that are definitely have meanings like this, and the translators look at them and they say, man, that can't mean that. So God's got to mean something else. So they come up with a translation that sounds good, but isn't the real translation.
Well, Ezra means prince, right? It's Ezra El, Prince of God.
Quite possible. I'd have to look that up. But yeah, El means God, or mighty and strong, or powerful.
So Israel means you beat God.
No, to prevail as God. To prevail. Right.
And won. So it's like saying, okay, so now I'm going to change your name to... You prevailed against God.
In other words, he became the father of Israel, and the destiny of Israel was to prevail as God prevails. And that was what the hope of Israel was, that they would do this. Now, Christ is the same way. There are many persons in the Old Testament identified as Christ. And Christ merely means anointed, and Jesus Christ means anointed to deliver. Now, anointed to deliver, the name itself is a principle. In other words, there's a prophecy in one of the latter books of the Old Testament, Obadiah. It says that saviors will appear on Mount Zion. Saviors. In other words, on Mount Zion, when the gathering takes place, saviors will be there to deliver people. People that are anointed to deliver will appear on Mount Zion in the last days, so to speak. So, this is just not one Jesus Christ, but as many. And this is the reason that all the churches are taught, and it's taught in the scriptures, that we're supposed to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus sat around at the Last Supper and commanded the people, the disciples, to eat the bread in remembrance of him and to drink the wine in remembrance of his blood, and that was so that they could take upon themselves his name symbolically, okay, so that he wouldn't be the only one anointed to deliver, but the disciples would be anointed to deliver too. So all the disciples that participated with him in the Last Supper, except for Judas, became anointed to deliver. And it's a principle of salvation, of true salvation, by the true meaning of the word, that materializes throughout the entire universe among all intelligent beings. And it's basically this, is that when you progress to a certain degree, you don't want to be there all alone. In other words, if you progress so that you go into the heavenly kingdoms and the heavenly vibrations, and there's these wonderful cities and castles and gold and all these precious, beautiful things to see, these parks and everything or whatever, and you're all alone, well, what fun is that? You have to, like, turn around, and you want to find some people to come up there with you. And this is what happens, is as we progress, we don't want to be there all alone. If you progress and you leave your friends behind, you leave your family behind, you leave everybody behind that's fun to be with, well, you want to turn around and say, hey, I want you to come with me. Do you want to go on a cruise just all by yourself, or do you want to bring your spouse, your friends, your family? If you can bring people with you, it will always be better. And this is a principle of Christ, is that Jesus didn't want to just go into the kingdom of God all by himself. That's no fun. He wanted to take people with him. And this is why he was anointed to deliver, and to be anointed to deliver is a principle. And that principle is this, is that when you progress, it's a natural tendency. If you want to progress farther, you have to turn around and pull the guy behind you up to where you are. And then something miraculous will happen. Somebody above you will turn around, take your hand, and say, well, because you helped the guy behind you, you are worthy of my help. And so the one that gets helped, the Christed one, steps forward and progresses and turns around, and there's three people to help, and maybe he can only help one at this time, who's he going to help? He's going to help the one that's most likely to turn around and help the one behind him, because he wants a chain. So he grabs the hand of one, the person grabs the hand of the one behind him, and it produces a chain, and he pulls the whole chain forward.
Sounds like multi-level marketing.
It's a little bit like that, except there's no downside to it. Every multi-level marketing program I've been in didn't really work out very good.